Preach Jesus Christ this morning.
Amen.
The title of my message is Christ is the End of the Law, but the word fulfill is used in our text in verse 17 and 18. Matthew chapter 5, verse 17 says, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot, one iota, or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled." Now, there's a perspective in the next two verses, and that's the next sermon, which you have to go to Big Creek if you want to hear that, is where it's our responsibility to fulfill the law. The text that we have here is that Christ has fulfilled the law. And I know when he's speaking the Sermon on the Mount, he's in the process of fulfilling the law. But what does it mean to you when I say he fulfills the law? In some ways, I think we've almost got caught in the context that he is going to keep the law, make sure every I is dotted and every T is crossed, and it's the perfecting of the keeping of the law. And there is a sense in that's what is happening here. But what I'd like to bring out this morning is that the law is Christ. And our other text is in Romans chapter number 10 and verse number 4. And like I said, it'll be important to read the context around it as you get further into the second message. But just for the sake of our message, this is our title. It says in verse 4 of Romans 10, it says, "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness." And what that means, it doesn't mean that the law is going to end. That word "end" there has a thought of a goal. And Christ is the goal. Christ is the purpose of the law. And in essence, when we go back to John chapter 1, and verse 1 says, "In the beginning was the what?" You're used to saying "word," but what about if I say "law"? Because that's who Jesus Christ is the Word. The Word is the Scriptures. The Scriptures are the law. And the law is a schoolmaster. We'll get to that in a little bit to bring us to Christ. And that's the whole purpose. And sometimes I think we say, "Well, we're not under the law, we're under grace," and you kind of forget who the law is. Did you catch that? Who the law is? It's Jesus Christ. What's the standard of perfection? Jesus Christ is. He is the purpose. As we get into our message here, the purpose of the law, the purpose of the commandments, the purpose of the prophets is what? It's to teach us about Jesus Christ. And in the Old Testament, we have this outline in the book of Galatians chapter number 3. And if that's all we get to is book of Galatians chapter 3, we'll be all right. Brother Leroy Pack preached for us a few weeks ago at Big Creek, and I don't know how he did it. In about 35 minutes, he preached the entire book of Galatians. And I'm still trying to stagger and trying to figure out how he did that. It was such a blessing to me, tying all these things together and making meaning and purpose of what this book of Galatians is. And I've got to go back and try to figure all this out. Verse number 19 of Galatians chapter 3 asks a question. Perhaps that'd be the question for our message this morning. It says, "Wherefore then serveth the law?" What's the purpose of the law? And even as you look at this, it says, even if that word "serveth," as you look at that context there, it means that the law is a servant. To what? To God. You know, whether it's talking about the servant of God being, and Jesus Christ, when he came to this earth, said he came to do the will of his Father. He came to serve his Father. And that's the purpose of every one of us, is to serve God. And that's the purpose of the law. The purpose of the law is to do the will of God. And that's what it says here. "Wherefore then serveth." What's the purpose of every man, woman, boy, and girl upon the face of this earth? Is bring glory and honor to God, to Jesus Christ. Ultimately, as we look at the message this morning, that Christ is the end of the law. You know, when you get your map out and you're heading to Winston-Salem, or you're heading down to Sophia, North Carolina here, that's, and you get your map quest out or whatever, there's a little goal there at the end. Well, that's the whole purpose, is to get there. And the whole purpose of the Bible is to get you to Jesus Christ. No other. There are other purposes along the way that God has. God's got a lot of purposes for the coronavirus. But the main purpose of the coronavirus is to get people to God. I know we don't see it that way all the time, but you see more people on Facebook, or more people doing this, and you see more people homeschooling. You see all kinds of purposes that God has in the coronavirus, and we think this is the thing. Oh, it's just taking away our liberties and our freedoms. If we look at it through God's eyes, God's using everything on the face of this earth to point people to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
If you just look at it rightly. And the ultimate servant of God is the law, is the Word of God, is the Bible, is these scriptures, and we hold them up. What's the most important thing in your house? It's this. Why? Because this is Jesus Christ in your house. Christ is the end of the law. Christ is the goal of the law. Christ is the purpose of the law. There is nothing. One of my favorite words when I'm preaching about the Bible is plenary. And because I often define plenary as it's all you need. You don't need any more, you don't need any less. It's what you need. And Jesus Christ is that. My brother Paul said that one point. I wrote it down in my hall of quotes. He says, the most any person can have is Jesus Christ. And the least that any saint of God can have is Jesus Christ. See, it doesn't matter what we think. We got a lot or think we got a little. As long as we have Jesus Christ, we have it all. I mean, what more could you want? You don't need more icing on that German chocolate cake. You got it all. The whole thing there is Jesus Christ. Wherefore then serveth the law? This passage here says it was added because of the transgression. And that's speaking about the fall of Adam. That the law was added there. And I know, you know, you say, well, the law didn't come until Moses. But, you know, you look in the book of Romans and you go through that. The law, death reigned. Even before the law was written down as it is in its current form here. Why? Because it's real. The law is eternal. Jesus Christ is eternal. What is it? Again, back to John chapter 1. In the beginning was the law, for the purpose of our message this morning. In the beginning was the Word. The Word is what we base our lives upon. And it says, wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of the transgression. Look what it says, till the seed should come. Isn't that awesome? But Jesus Christ in our text there says that Jesus Christ is the fulfillment. He says he's going to fulfill the law is exactly what this verse here is saying also. That you have the outlines in the Old Testament. You have the picture of the lamb being sacrificed there by Adam. You have the sacrifice that Abraham brings to Mount Moriah when he's bringing his only son. And you have all these pictures and all these outlines in the Old Testament. And Jesus Christ fulfilled them.
Amen.
He took those and made them his story. And if we read the Old Testament and don't see Jesus Christ, we miss the whole point of the law. We miss the whole point of the Scriptures.
Right.
It's Jesus Christ in every one of those stories. I remember one preacher I was talking to, he was preaching on the tabernacle, and he said, I feel like I'm in a candy store. There's Jesus Christ here, Jesus Christ here in the veil, Jesus Christ here in the coverings, Jesus Christ here in the candlestick, and every part of it. It's Jesus Christ. And he came to fulfill the law. And then I said, and I don't want you to get this sense as we're in this message that, okay, I checked this off. I kept this law. No, he made that his own. And he made sure that you see that Jesus Christ is being talked about. There is going to be no glory in heaven for anybody other than God, particularly Jesus Christ. I know unto him be glory unto the Father because of that. The Father brings glory to the Son. The Spirit brings glory in that triuneness. But in the person of Jesus Christ, for the sake of our message this morning, because of transgression, it was added till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. You know, it's ordained to be preached, Jesus Christ is. Ordained to be enjoined. Ordained that we be enslaved to Jesus Christ. And I was writing that down my notes and saying, enslaved, man, that's a bad word. You know, it's not.
Amen.
Somebody accused me or, you know, us, they call us Calvinists, sovereign grace. Well, if you believe in all that, you believe God has ordained everything, God's foreknown everything, and everything's all set in stone, you're nothing but a robot. You know what my answer was? I wish I was. I wish I could serve God robotically. But the old flesh keeps pulling me the other way.
Right.
And though the desire of the Spirit's there, the flesh is pulling us away. I wish I could. One of these days I will. One of these days, I'm not ashamed of that. You know, if you want to call it robotic or whatever you want to, you're misunderstanding everything. But the desire ought to be immediate. to glorify God, to worship God. It was ordained by angels in the hands of a mediator. Now, a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. And this law, in some ways, is not a mediator. In some ways, it is, as we're looking at context here, because we're talking about Jesus Christ. And the reason there has to be a mediator is because we sinned. You understand that? God is one. That's what this verse says. And when we get to glory, there's no need for a mediator. But you know, the purpose of the law is until the seed come, until the faith is exhibited there, until we become one with Christ, there's the law to point us to that. And it's the mediator. It is the purveyor of the gospel of Jesus Christ as we have experienced it in our lives. How are you saved if you're saved here this morning? Put that two ways, by the preaching of the gospel, the word of God, the law, but also the preaching of Jesus Christ. You see, what I'm trying to bring together here is the thought you can't separate the two. And when people say, I don't live under the law anymore, you mean you don't want to obey Jesus Christ anymore? It's basically what they're saying, and most of the time that's what they are saying. I want to do what Matt Stepp wants to do. I don't want to be under the law. I want to be under grace. And when I'm under grace, I can do whatever I want to do. Well, what do you want to do? What do you want to do? You want to break the law? That's what you got to ask that question. Is that really what you want? You're probably not even saved then. If your goal is not to want the law of Jesus Christ to be abiding in your heart, to be perfect. Now, I know my wife has already obtained perfection, but most of the rest of us, we're still striving to attain perfection. You know, that's what we're going for. And we need the law. We really do. You don't know how much you need the law until you've broken the law. Especially when it's of ignorance. You know, as blessed as we are, Sovereign Grace Landmark Baptist, there's not very many sins that we do really that are of ignorance anymore. But you know, when you were younger and you did, I didn't know.
Right.
Well, the law says this. You're driving down the road and it says 70 mile an hour, that's the law. If you're driving 80 mile an hour down through there and the blue lights come on back there, that's what you expected to happen. Because it's the law. It says in verse 21, is the law then against the promises of God? Because you know, sometimes people try to get it to that point. The law is not against the promises of God, is it? Now, the law has a lot of thou shalt nots, and if you do, this is going to happen to you. As you read Deuteronomy chapter 28 and the other passages like that, if you do not obey me, I will chastise you. Because I love you. You find out there in the book of Hebrews, you know, if he doesn't chastise us, maybe we better check who our parents are. And Satan's over there cheering his children on into unrighteousness. Jesus Christ is going to rule your life with a rod of iron.
Amen.
I've been doing some studying on the millennial reign and the different things that happen. And if the nation, the family of Egypt doesn't bring up the offering during the millennial reign, the Lord's going to plague that land. You don't think about that during the millennial reign, but that's real. The Lord's going to rule with a rod of iron, and all those children are born to those mortals that go into there, and they're going to need the gospel just like everybody else is. And as they grow up through that 1,000 years, there's a lot of them that end up in that 1,000-year reign following Satan. Well, what were they doing all the way through? Just seething under the omnipotent reign of Christ, where they were there one day. You know, that's in this world, that's in our lives, a seething against what? Again, I want to make this parallel against the law of God. But literally, that's against Jesus Christ, isn't it? Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if it had been a law given, which could have given life. Now here we're going to see some of the temporal nature of the law in our lives that we have here is that Jesus Christ came to fulfill the law. In other words, in the Old Testament, the law wasn't fulfilled yet, was it? Because Christ hasn't come yet. Christ hasn't come, and maybe the best picture I can give is a coloring page. And you've got all the black lines out there, and you've got all the outlines of Abraham and Moses and Noah and all that. You've got all the black lines there, but that needs color. It needs to be fulfilled. It needs to be filled with Jesus Christ. A lot of times I say it's all red now because of the blood of Jesus Christ. But isn't it marvelous? Somebody was talking about Carolina Blue this morning. I don't know who that would be. But you know, you talk about that beautiful blues. It's a picture of Jesus Christ's divinity, royalty, and the blue and the purples are. And the white is a picture of his purity. And the other colors that you have, God created all of these colors, the whole rainbow of colors, that he's going to fill this coloring picture of our lives and of this world up with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And when we get to the end, we'll look back and we'll see, there's Jesus, there's Jesus, there's Jesus. And every aspect of our lives, if there had been a law, but you see right now, there is some black and whites here in the law. And the law of itself, now, I'm not speaking blasphemy or anything, but this thing right here can't save you. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says the preaching of the cross.
Amen.
It's what God used. But he does use this, doesn't he? He does use the law. He does use the Bible. And nobody here is saved without the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because this is what is used to preach and to bring out Jesus Christ. But there's a lot of people that's read this Bible and read this book that have never been saved. And that's what it says there, you know, drop back over there in Romans chapter number 3. Like I said, this is a fresh outline, so I'm not sure which way to go on this. Romans chapter 3 and verse number 23, it says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus."
Amen.
"Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith." And we'll get to faith there in a little bit if we have time, if in our last 35 minutes. "Propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare at this time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus." And it's almost like the just is speaking about the law and the justifier is speaking about Jesus Christ as he comes and he merges these two. And he is just, he is holy. Now how can you make Matt Stepp clean? How can you allow Matt Stepp into heaven if heaven's only filled with perfect people? It's the classic eternal conundrum. You can't. Who can pay the infinite price? Who can pay the infinite cost? And in the wisdom of God, he said, "I'll send my son." And my son, and I don't know how he did it in 3 hours of darkness, he paid for every one of my sins. Because you know, if I was there for an eternity, I still couldn't. Because I've offended an infinite holy God, and I can't touch that infinite. Michael the Archangel can't touch that infinite because he's a finite being. But the infinite God, Jesus Christ, could not only touch that infinite, he wiped it away. Amen. Nailed to the cross, the ordinance.
Amen.
What's the ordinance? The law against me. The laws that I had broken, that he had there. It says to declare in verse 26, "I say at this time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him that believeth in Jesus." Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? You like that? By what law? You know, well, who made this right? By what law? By what right do you have to be justified? By the law of works. See, I can't keep this. The only one that can keep this is Jesus Christ, because it's his story. It's his deal, as it were. It's his book. "Nay, but by the law of faith." And isn't it awesome that when you get in here and people start saying, talk about that, I'm not against the law. What law are you talking about? A lot of times you can just ask that question. And that, what do you mean, what law is there? I'm talking about the law of Moses. Well, what about this verse here? It says about the law of faith. You know what the law of gravity is, don't you? You know that no matter how many times you throw that apple up, it's going to fall to the ground. Well, you know, it's an hypothesis. I think that every time I throw it up, after you throw it for a while, you know, it happens, it becomes a law. And the law of faith is that Jesus Christ paid for our sins. And it works every time. And that's why it's a law. I mean, that's the very definition that we have, the working definition that we have of this word, this law, is that it happens every single time. By the law of faith, it says in verse 28, "Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law." And again, that's what we want to get to the point to. That's the second message, that we are required to fulfill the law. But this first message of Jesus Christ fulfilling the law is that we can't do it. We don't have to do this part. We don't work to be saved. Christ worked for us to be saved.
Amen.
And that's what we have here, is concluded that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. And again, that's the Bible here, which we're talking about here. The words there, the commandments here that we haven't kept, he kept. And so, like I said when I started out, a lot of times that's what we think about. That's what this verse is talking about. And it's going to be imputed to us. And when we get to glory, we will have this perfectly sterling resume of perfection as we sign at the bottom of Jesus Christ. But it's mine. It's been given to me. It's been given to you. It says in verse number 31, it says, do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. And I think that's the easiest way for us to understand that, as we start to turn our thoughts in this message this way. Do we make then void the law? If we know that it's Jesus Christ, well, you're going to say right immediately away, do we then make void the Lord Jesus Christ through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish Jesus Christ. That's who he is. But I thought we were under grace. Yeah, you're under grace. But Christ is under the law. Christ is the law. It's his work that he has for us to do. And so this Bible contains those, back in Galatians chapter 3, just a couple more thoughts on verse 22. It says in verse 21, is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law which could have been given, verily righteousness should have been by the law. And if there was a sinner's plan of salvation, would somebody go out there in the foyer and says, God's plan for salvation? Now, if that tract, if you open it up and says, God sent his, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, you know, and God sent his Son and paid for the sins of his people, and his people will hear the gospel, and his people will be saved, be transformed, be regenerated. If that's what it says inside that tract, then that's God's plan of salvation. But most of the time when you open it up, you do this, you do this, you do this, hey, you're saved. No. If the law could have, if there had been a law which could have been given, verily, righteousness should have been by the law. But it's not. It says in verse 22, but the scripture, or the law, hath concluded all under sin. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now look at the rest of this verse here. It says that the promise, I'm going to leave out by faith, read this way, that the promise of Jesus Christ might be given. Isn't that awesome? That's John 3:16, isn't it? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That's what this verse is saying. The scripture has concluded all of sin. That the promise, but look what it is, but it does say by faith. My question to you this morning, do you believe that? Do you believe the law? Do you believe Jesus Christ? That's what we want to bring together. And if you know, you say, and you nod your head, you do believe, because God has given you that faith. God has given you that repentance. Well, glory be, you have Jesus Christ. That's why the Apostle Paul's writings are filled with, you are in Christ. You've been saved by the law being fulfilled by Jesus Christ. And it's been imputed to you and I. I like verse 23. It says, before faith came, we were kept under the law. That word kept there has a thought of being guarded. It's a good book. I preached a message one time, you're a good friend, the law. Because how would I know what not to do? How would I know not to steal? How would I know not to covet? How would I know not to, how would I know to the, from the positive commandments to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy? How would I know? You know, it's not fair if you go out there and start whipping your children for the, I didn't know. You never told me I couldn't do that. Somebody told me one time that Cain was innocent because God had not said, thou shalt not kill yet. How dumb is that? I mean, that's just dumb. You say, well, the scripture doesn't have it in there, and you know, he's holding right to that scripture. That's dumb. God said, do righteousness. Well, how do I know? I think God told Adam and Eve a lot more than what we can read there in Genesis chapter 3. We're given what we need, and God gave them what they needed. And God has a purpose in all that he has. But before faith came, and that's talking about salvation, isn't it? Before our realization that Jesus Christ is the law, before faith, yet we were given that understanding of Jesus Christ and who he is. Before faith came, Apostle Paul says we were kept under the law. That's the purpose of the law. You know, get back to our first point here. The purpose of the law is to guard us from sin. It's to help keep us on that way of righteousness. Do we always succeed? No, we don't always succeed. But it's not the fault of the law. And it's our fault. And that's why it's called sin. Now we've got to get to a point here in a little bit where the law is insufficient to save us because of the weakness of the flesh, it says there. But that's, you know, again, that comes back. It's not the fault of the law. The law is pure. The law is holy. The law is right. It's just our following of the law that's wrong, isn't it? For the law of faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterward be revealed. And again, there you got Jesus Christ, don't you? Kept up until the Christ which should afterwards be revealed. You know, God's got his, you know, prevenient grace is a word that's been thrown around a lot over the ages and misused and abused a lot, but I think there's a truth to that prevenient grace, in the fact that we had grace even before we were saved. Amen. The Lord watched over us. Predestination guided us to the point. You know, amazing fact, not a single one of God's elect died before they were saved.
You're right. Amen.
Who did that? Oh, who did that? God did that.
Amen.
Every single one. He's never lost one. No one left behind. You know, somebody should tell our president that. But you know, Jesus Christ is one that has never left anyone behind. His purposes will be revealed. Shut up unto the faith which should afterward be revealed. And a large purpose is that. And that's what it says in verse 24. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ. And you know, our thoughts on that word schoolmaster is a teacher. But as you look in there, as Brother Doug preached on before, and I think probably several times, the schoolmaster is actually the truant officer or the bus driver, is what Brother Mark Benny always calls him. And what it's talking about there is, and it really makes a difference here, doesn't it? The law is not the teacher. The Holy Spirit's the teacher. And the Holy Spirit's what opens this up. The law is merely the schoolmaster or the bus driver or the truant officer that brings us to what? To Jesus Christ. And that's what the purpose of the thrust of these next three verses are. It says, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster or our bus driver or truant officer to bring us unto Christ, the fulfilled law. And you see, that's important too, isn't it? Because you can call Jesus Christ the Word, and you can call Him the law. He's the end of the law. But it's so much more than that, and it's the full picture when you say Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is never a half picture. You know, the law, it might be a half picture in the Old Testament. You might scratch your head and wonder, I wonder what that means. How do you get there from here? Brother Gene and I were talking about the book of Revelation and how the Lord has revealed it to us, but He's revealed some things differently to Brother Gene than He has to me. And of course, Brother Gene will find out when we get to glory who was right. But you know, we've been talking about that, and sometimes we can't be dogmatic about it, can we? Because it's not been filled in yet. Too much study. The Lord fills it in for us step by step right now. But you know, even when I get to glory, sometimes, yeah, even Sam Wilson and Matt Stepp or Brother Larry Lafferty is going to have the carpet pulled out. Well, you're wrong on that, you know. But you weren't wrong on Jesus Christ, Larry.
Amen.
You weren't wrong on the Word being what was important. And that's what we have here. The law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ that we might be justified by faith. And that's a law of faith too, where we touch. And after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. You know, we don't need the truant officer when we're saved. And you know, there's a kind of a picture there too, that after we're saved, you know, we don't have to keep these works to be saved, to remain saved. The eternal security is still based upon what? Still based upon the law of faith. Still based upon the law of Jesus Christ. Now we do keep that, and that's why there's two more verses back there in Matthew chapter 5 that you got to preach on. It's our job to fulfill the law too. And to break even the least of the commandments of God, released in the kingdom of heaven. Why? Because you broke the law of God. And it's our responsibility to fulfill. It's our responsibility to color in our aspect of the law also. And it says in verse 26 and verse 27, just a little contrast here, it says, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. And the word all is used because every child of God is in the family of God. Verse 27 is a little picture of the church, an elect within the elect. But he says, he doesn't say for all of you have been baptized. It says for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ and taken upon yourself a privilege, but also a responsibility to go into all the world and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, to proclaim the law of God, to proclaim the fulfilling of the law by Jesus Christ, and the responsibility of you and I to fulfill the law of Jesus Christ. And that's what we have there, as you touch upon that, and he says, as you continue through there, he guards his people, he brings them to this point, and he saves us through the power. The law can't save us, but Jesus Christ does save us. The shadow of fulfillment, in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 10, and if I had 33 more minutes, we'd preach from Hebrews chapter 10. But so I'll just give Brother Andy a head start so he can preach this Sunday or Wednesday. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 1 says, for the law, having a shadow of, can I say for the sake of our message, of Jesus Christ? Because that's the same thing as saying what the Bible says here, the law having a shadow of good things. Good things. That's Jesus Christ. You found Jesus Christ yet? I know I'm preaching to the choir here mostly. I'm talking to folks that are saved. But if you're here and you're not saved, would you like to have good things? Would you like to have wonderful things beyond comprehension? They're found in this word. And they're found in this law. They're found in Jesus Christ. The law having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices they offer year by year, and that's what you go down through this passage here, continually make the comers thereunto perfect. But one can. And that's what it says down there in verse 14, for by one offering he hath perfected forever.
Amen.
Perfected forever.
Amen.
Them that are sanctified. Why? Because he's the word. He's the law. He's kept it. You know, the other aspect of the law, you think about, somebody says, the long arm of the law. Well, that's the enforcer. Man, he is that too. And he will enforce that. May God give us the privilege of loving the law. You know, a lot of people go through this world, they don't understand. May God give you and I the privilege of loving the law of God. That feels good, doesn't it, when you keep the law. It feels good when you get rewarded for it. You know, don't let the world out there say, if you're a Christian, you got to do all this stuff, and you got to dot all your I's and cross all your T's, and all those thou shalt nots. Well, don't you want to know Jesus Christ? Don't you want that love of the Heavenly Father that God has given us? May God give you the blessing of His Holy Word.
Amen.